Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
Genius comes in many forms, and every year the MacArthur Foundation rewards genius in many fields, and sometimes many fingertips. A jazz pianist and composer is among the 23 winners of the MacArthur Award, the so-called Genius Grant, this year. So is a stone carver, a linguist working to preserve the Algonquin language, a TV writer, and John DeBeery, a Caltech biophysicist who studies jellyfish.
In my work, we study both the successes and the failures of biological systems, and then we try to take that knowledge and use it to improve engineering systems, like underwater vehicles, cardiac diagnosis of heart failure, and more recently, wind energy.
In recognition for their creative contributions in their fields, MacArthur Fellows each receive $500,000, no strings attached. One winner who created plenty of buzz this year is Marla Spivak, a professor of entomology. She studies honeybees at the University of Minnesota. Congratulations, Professor.
Thank you very much.
So how did you find out that you were a MacArthur Fellow?
They set me up. They told me a woman named Liz Brooks was coming to talk to me about a freelance story she was writing, and she didn't show up. And instead, the phone in my office rang, and they asked for Liz. They said they were calling for Liz Brooks, and I said that she hadn't arrived. And they said, well, they were calling for her and that I should sit down. And at that point, I thought Liz Brooks had died. I didn't even know her. But so it took me a while to figure out what the whole conversation was about. But then they let me know that I had received this fellowship.
And what did you think?
Well, I was floored, actually. I didn't really believe they had the right person. And I was having a lot of trouble getting my mind around what they were trying to tell me. So I had to take some notes as they were speaking to help it sink in.
Your work with bees sounds like fun. Where'd you get the passion for bees?
Well, I've been interested in bees since I've been 18 years old, and I've worked for different beekeepers and done research in different areas, and I just have loved bees ever since I read about them and started working with them.
But when I was reading about you and your work with bees, it's easy to kind of think that, you know, working with bees is kind of quirky, but they're really important. They pollinate, what, a third of the United States food supply?
That's mostly our fruits and vegetables. And if you include alfalfa hay, and, you know, we need seed, alfalfa seed to plant the hay, and considering where the hay is, where the hay goes to our dairy industry and our meat industry, then you can see that the benefits of pollination extend way beyond just in fruits and vegetables.
So let's talk about your work. What you've been focusing on is ways to keep bees healthy.
Yes, that's what we do. And that includes things like breeding bees for their own defenses against diseases and parasites. And currently we're looking at resins that bees collect called propolis from certain trees. So up in this area would be poplar trees, birch trees, alder. And they use the resin inside the nest to seal up cracks and to line the nest cavity. And for humans, we've known that propolis has a lot of antimicrobial properties. So for example, it even has activity against the HIV virus and many other bacteria and fungi and viruses. But no one's ever thought to ask what the resins do for the bees themselves. And we know now from a student's PhD research that it really benefits their immune systems. And then they use it like a varnish or a cement inside the nest. An analogy might be if you are living in a house with dust mites or molds, if you would paint your house inside with these resins, propolis, they would kill off the molds and the dust mites. And so your immune system wouldn't be constantly fighting that battle.
I was reading that you also focus on how genetically influenced behaviors confer disease resistance to the entire colonies.
Yes, we've been breeding bees for hygienic behavior, which is a particular behavior of the bees, and that at a colony level gives them resistance to diseases and mite parasites. And so in this behavior, the bees sniff out diseased larvae, and they sniff this out with their antennae, and their antennae is their nose, if you will, and they're able to detect these diseased larvae, and then they throw them out of the nest.
Bees have been really taking it on the chin lately. I know about the Varroa mite. I did stories about that 15, 20 years ago. But now they've got this colony wasting disease. Do you think your research is going to help bees be sustainable?
I hope so. It's going to take a big collective effort. It won't be just me, for sure. But there's a lot of good research going on throughout the United States now on how to keep bees healthy. And actually, a lot of good research from Europe and Canada, too. So I think together we'll try to figure out what exactly is causing colony collapse disorder and what's compromising bee health in general. And I think we can make some changes, some cultural changes, some genetic changes in the bees, the cultural practices in the beekeepers to help keep bees alive.
Professor, I got to ask you, do you like honey?
I love honey.
Well, Professor Spivak, I want to thank you very much and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Oh, by the way, do you know Jason Moran? Did you ever hear of his music?
I have to admit, I've only heard his music in the last day since I learned that he... and I hope if he hears that, he's not offended.
Well, he probably just heard about you, Professor, too. The music of fellow MacArthur Fellow, Jason Moran. And here's some sweet news that'll prick up the antennae of Marla Spivak and fellow honey lovers. Scientists believe they may have discovered the cause of the mysterious colony collapse disorder, which has killed up to 40% of the nation's honeybees. Make that causes. Researchers have found a fungus and a virus working together may be the culprits. Scientists at the Army's Edgewood Biological Center and the Bee Alert Team at the University of Montana report finding the fungus-virus combination in every killed colony, though neither appears able to destroy the bees alone. Other suspected causes of the bizarre disorder have been floated. They include genetically modified crops, pesticides, and radiation from cell phone towers. Coming up, scoping out the starry skies for a possible home just right for E.T. Just ahead on Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.